there is less external pressure on private foundations to continue to operate as 501c3 would require. And so the law steps into that breach to impose certain mandatory requirements and certain prohibitions on what a private foundation can do. The law operates as a mechanism to ensure that entities that are classified as private foundations stay within the guardrails of 501c3. And this slide here sets out what those requirements are. You'll see on the left that some of those are stuff you gotta do, the must-dos, and then on the right side, things that a private foundation cannot do, the must-not-dos. And so Jody just mentioned the 1.39% tax on investment income. Private foundations every year, just they pay an excise tax on their investment income. It's sort of a cost of doing business. And as Jody also alluded to, that number has moved up and down over time. There are times when it was zero, times when it was 4%. Most recently, it was either 1 or 2%. And foundations that were proactive about that planning would take the steps necessary to qualify for that lower 1% tax rate. If in your work you come across that notion of conducting your, you know, operating your foundation in a way to qualify for the lower 1% tax rate, just be aware that that practice, that school of thought is obsolete now. It is 1.39% across the board. It just is what it is. The other
of course, it can always be changed.
It could be changed. You know, so keep an eye on it. Use
the trouble with doing tax things according to the tax code is we don't control, you don't control, the Congress people control what we'll get. And so I hope it's such a strange number.
It is.
I complained
a lot. I think there was some horse trading
to
going into that number. A couple of
people I knew up there that were voting to say, why? Look at this number, 1.39. Can't you at least make it? Never mind.
No, that is exactly
whatever number.
That is exactly the right amount of tax, Josie. Well, Jody, 1.5 would be onerous. 1.39 is exactly the right rate. Okay, and then do you want to talk about the other must-do requirement, the annual distributions under 4942, or you want me to take that?
You go.
Okay. So, again, these rules are intended to make sure that private foundations, which enjoy all the benefits of 501c3 status, deductible contributions, more or less tax-free income, we got to make sure that they're actually serving some kind of public purpose. And in the private foundation context, what we worry about is one or a small handful of donors putting a bunch of money into a private foundation, getting the charitable contribution deduction benefit from that, and then that money just sits there and doesn't really do any good in the charitable sphere. So to guard against that result, the law says that private foundations have to make some minimal amount of distributions for charitable purposes every year. And that amount is equal to roughly, and I say I'm doing, for those listening to a recording, I'm doing the back and forth hand of approximately, roughly 5% of the value of the foundation's non-exempt use assets. Now, if the foundation only has investment assets, stocks, bonds, cash deposits, all of those are non-exempt use assets. They are things that the foundation is not using for the direct conduct of its exempt activities. The foundation has to distribute roughly 5% of that value every year in the form of what's called qualifying distributions.
But can I interrupt you to say, if any of you are thinking of creating a private foundation and you're working on that concept, that the difficulty is that the assets are not always easy to value. And we're going to have the same construct when we get into qualifying distributions. If you fund a private foundation totally with land, and you've just read this here, that you have to distribute 5% of the value every year, how would you do that? It creates a real difficult planning and management situation. You must be careful in choosing the assets with which you fund a private foundation. Not only that question, which is meeting your payout requirements, sounds real easy, 5% of the fair market value of the assets, But if your assets are, for example, grandpa's furniture company, what will happen? How are you going to do that? It's really important in keeping in mind when you're creating a foundation, the type of assets that will be subject to some of these rules really should be taken into consideration so you don't have a problem. And the other is just the challenge of valuing them. Certain assets are easy, like you said. I mean, marketable securities sitting over at Schwab or wherever they are, that's easy. But grandpa's old land? It's like the question of funding a foundation and choosing the right assets should be kept in mind when you're understanding these requirements.